Times of discouragement, in great times of falling away, I've never been more encouraged in my life, because I know the promise is real. The promise is true. He said we'd make it. I can't figure it out. I can't even figure out why He likes me, but I'm going to believe it because He said He did. Look at somebody and say, God loves you. Sing that chorus one more time, brethren. Let's sing it with all of our heart. I want you to sing it like you believe it this morning. There's been a great investment made in you. You've been placed in this Satan's Eden for a special reason. To prove that the devil's a liar.
Amen.
To prove that Satan's kingdom is fixing to crumble. The kingdom of God is on its way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand. Have a praise. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said.
Hallelujah,
yes He does. the truth. I choose to believe that. It's the truth. I want to look at our prayer request. If you will, just remain standing. Brother Robert, get ready to come lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Please pray for my cousin's husband, Bill Radford. He's in the intensive care unit in Macon, Georgia, with pneumonia and possible renal failure. So Brother Byron Palmer sends that in, so let's remember that need. I want to pray for Brother Dan Dyer this morning, homesick, needs a healing touch. Brother Keith Phillips says to please pray for my family. My aunt Faye West passed to her eternal rest last night, so let's remember that. I want to pray for Clara Moore, very sick, unable to be in the service today. Let's remember that. Sarah and Kaylee Belanger says to please continue to pray for Billy Laster. He started his chemo for pancreatic and liver cancer. He's in a lot of pain, not sleeping well, which makes it hard for my mother. Please continue to pray. So let's remember that. Sister Stacy Hensley is in the is at the doctor with flu-like symptoms. We'll remember that prayer request. Brother Carter Lawson says to please remember my wife Tara in prayer for her salvation, and the Lord will touch her, having been in a lot of pain in her back and stomach. Also, Brother Jimmy Watson said to say hello to his mom and stepdad. So we'll remember those requests this morning as we pray. Brother Ben Davis says he wants to thank the Lord. I woke up nauseated every morning for the last 4 months, but after prayer last night, I woke up without the nausea this morning. Thanks the Lord for that. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Terry Horn wants to offer this testimony, this part of Sister Alice's first liver transplant. A few people know on Tuesday, September the 22nd, will be her 17th anniversary for her first transplant. A month after that transplant, she experienced a major rejection to that new liver after over 3 weeks in the hospital. Mega doses of prednisone, high levels of Prograf. Her bilirubin reached over 23. The hospital got it down to 16. Normal is 1.6. They told her family, "We're going to let you go home." She said, "Praise God." They was actually said that there's nothing else we can do. They actually sent her home to die, but God healed her. She's here in the service. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord!" Hallelujah. Well, ain't God good? Isn't God good? Brother Robert, come. If you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this assembly to pray about today, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. We love this guy right here, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you.
Lord bless you, saints. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord over here in Johnson City, Tennessee, to see such fine folks. I really enjoy myself Friday, seeing so many good friends of mine and so many great people. I think last night I ate real good. I don't know about you, but there's something about a man of God when he could humble himself and go down into the lower part in humility. Many times, Brother Brandon said, a lot of people are too high. And this is how a lot of preachers are around the message. And people too, and churches too, not only preachers. When you could go down in humility and recognize that you're nobody, then God can use you, said Brother Brandon. And it's good about Brother Donnie having such a ministry he has. He is such a humble man. He's a simple man, and I appreciate that about a man of God. If we all could be that way, we could be a lot of blessings to a lot of people. See, humility is one of the first things to be able to approach God's presence. If you don't have humility, you have nothing. Well, God bless you. It's good to be here. I bring greetings from my church up in New York. And my dad also sends greetings to most of you that he knows. Let's go to the Lord and pray for this request. Most gracious Heavenly Father, it's good to be a son of God today. It's good to recognize the word of the hour. Father, not only Father, recognize it, but live it, Father. And recognize that God is still a mighty God. And he is still in the healing business, Father. Father, you die for us that we may be well, Father. That we may live, that we may have salvation. That we may have healing for our bodies. But Father, as we are here on this earth, the devil will attack the bodies of the believers, Lord. Father God, but thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the healing, Father. Father, the request that has been put here in this pulpit today, Father, may you visit every one of them, Father. Every single need, Father. May the Holy Spirit touch every person in this hour. Even the people that are here that are not feeling well, Father. May your mighty hands, God, may be upon them, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, may you bless the service today and bless your servant, Father, as you bring forth your word, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Robert. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Give this guy one more hand, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. We've got a lot of things to try to get done today, a lot of songs to try to get in. We're going to do the best we can, but we're going to give plenty of time to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. If you're a visitor, and we've got several today, God bless you. We're so glad you're here. Good to see each and every one of you. Trust you had a great time at the festival. All the work, I think they mentioned it last night, but everything that took place and all the helpers and all the planning, God bless you. You've done a great job. Those that are streaming this service, we want it to be a blessing to those folks as well. We got a big congregation this morning around the world. Let's do our part in this local assembly to do our best this morning. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
Are you glad you love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you glad you've got a desire?
Amen.
We was going to sing one song, but we changed it. We're going to sing another. There's still power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't you never forget it. Sometimes I get down to pray, Brother David, and it seems like these many blocks of concrete walls between me and where I want to get to. But you know what we do? We keep praying anyway. We break the barriers. We get through to our Heavenly Father. We've got to press sometimes. If it's worth fighting for, we're going to fight for it. And this message and this truth, it's worth fighting for. It's worth rolling your sleeves up and getting down in the mud and say, I believe it with all of my heart. Do you believe it with all of your heart? There's still power in the name of Jesus. There's still power in the name of Jesus.
There's still power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, to break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Change.
This morning, you are a wealthy human being. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We've got a couple of specials that we want to try to get in. The Cox sisters, are they here this morning? They have a song, and I believe I probably won't get this name right. Shia, is she in the service, Brother Isaiah? Is she here this morning? Somebody help me. Is she here? She does not have a song. All right. Well, the Cox sisters, I know they, where are they at? Come on, get up here. Let's go. Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning. Praise the Lord.
faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this, I will admit, has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe.
Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate that song this morning. Now, we're going to have one more song, and it's a song that really needs to be sung this morning. And Brother Harry didn't know he was going to be doing it. But I want you to go here and get the guitar, and I want you to sing a song for us this morning, He's Alive. Go. There's ever been a time that this song is really real. In the heart of a believer, he's alive. Amen. The world says he's dead. The world says, you bunch of folks, you're crazy. We know he's alive. Amen. Are you glad he's alive? Amen. Give this guy, he's probably, wait just a minute. I just want to say this about Brother Harry Reagan. If I've ever met a humble man, that's a humble man. Amen. If I've ever met a real singer, I'm not a good singer, but I'm a wonderful listener. If I've ever heard a good singer, right there's a good singer. And I love him with all my heart, and I know you do too. Sing it, buddy.
He didn't mean a word of that. He's just trying to stay out of trouble. But I know he is alive, don't you? Well, I don't have any voice, so if you know the words of this, Brother Daniel, just go ahead and put it up on the screen. That way we can...
The gates and doors are barred, and all the windows fastened down. spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Well, just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. Found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love came shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Hurt my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. Hallelujah. Every fear I ever had just melted into peace.
Because he's alive, we're alive. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Father, we are so grateful today, Lord Jesus, to know that you are alive among us. You're right here today, right here this morning. We feel your awesome presence as you're near us. We want you to know we are so grateful. Lord, as we've come together today, we're just asking you that you would take this service, make it something that will be life-changing for us all. Give us something, Lord, that will help us to be better people when we walk out these doors. Lord, we desire that your word can be so real and manifested in and through us. Help us today, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, if you would, today. Certainly want to extend our greetings to all of our visitors in our gates today. Trust that you've enjoyed your brief stay here in the mountains. Hope that the blessing of the Lord will be on your life. Wherever you leave, you go back to your church. Trust that God will get us all ready for the rapture. That's what we're longing for, isn't it? I want to speak to you again today on the King in the galleries. I've been dealing with this in the Song of Solomon for a few weeks. We want to look at the gallery of worship again today by the help of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 2. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. You shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Now, this is them coming in to possess their land. They've got all these altars and images and groves, which was a grove of trees that they would plant them in there. They would worship these idols. Now, this is God giving them directions on what to do. But he says in verse 4, you shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. Now God chose one place out of all the tribes that he would put his name. Chapter 14, verse 22 of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he chose to place his name there. The tithe of the corn and of the wine and of thine oil and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. May the Lord bless his words and may be seated. It might seem peculiar and strange to people who would be not really fully taught in the Word to know that God would pick out one particular place by which he would place his name. That within itself sounds unusual to us, that God would put his name. How do you put a name somewhere? How does God put his name in a certain city or an individual or a place? There was actually no sign when you came in to Jerusalem that said the name of God is here. There was no entrance when you come in, and there's something, an archway or a gateway or a doorway by which it said the name of God is here. But yet God chose this place in Jerusalem to put his name. So if it wasn't a sign, and if it wasn't legible, something that you could see, how did God place his name there? And what would his name represent? Of course, name in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word shem, which is reputation, honor, and character. So it's something that signifies what the individual is, their name. Unlike us Westerners, and we name our kids by names that are popular, and we look in a book and try to find those different names or online. But in the East, it was not that way. A name was derived or given because of traits or characteristics. That's why a person sometimes would be renamed, because of something that was outstanding in their life, and they might name them John, as we'd say. And then as they got older, they realized their life did not match the name of John, but it matched Jacob better, or whatever name it was, and they saw that outstanding trait was the thing that would identify who they were. But God is so different from us in the way that he looks at things. And he wants worship so very, very much that he hungers and he seeks and he thirsts for individuals that will worship him with all of their heart. They don't have to be made to do so. They're not bribed into doing it. They're not talked into doing it. But because by virtue of the nature of the way that they are born or reborn, and this places within them then the trait or the characteristic of his own divine name. Since real, true worship, accepted worship, must come from the virtue of the deity that is giving it. I mean, no, truly, there's only one deity, and that is God himself. All other deities are man-made and fabricated by man. But here God chose, as we saw it last night, one gate, one place, and that one city, and that was Jerusalem. Satan desired to take away this place and setting up images and Dan and Beersheba and over here and over there to pull the people away from God's one provided place of worship. Then we know that when this name of God became manifested in a human being, what Brother Branham called God's Lamb, God's name Lamb, when he was manifested on the earth, there was a prophet by the name of John. And whenever that name Lamb was going to be transferred, the name of God transferred from the temple by which they had worshiped the Lord for many years, then God had a prophet on the earth, and he began to bring to naught all the other places of worship. Now that prophet had to identify where the name of God had now been transferred. So he stands in John 1 and he points to them. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Then the scripture says the next day after that, that John again pointed to his disciples and said these similar words again and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Now, God is actually transferring his name that has already been transferred at the birth of Emmanuel to where that it is no longer in the temple where the Jews are now worshiping. So the name of God has now been born into a human being. "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." Now, we know that the Lord Jesus, when he come to the earth, that he was the Word made manifest. We all believe that. He was Emmanuel. But the fullness of the attribute of God had to come into him, of course, when he was baptized and the Holy Ghost comes into him. The fullness, he was born the Word. So that was the Word of God. He was God in the person of the Word. But the fullness of the attribute, the Logos, come to him, of course, when the dove comes down, and now God enters in to his holy temple as he did Solomon's temple, as he did the other places of dedication. So now God enters into the temple and he makes his presence known by a declaration of his voice. And John hears it, "This is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell." So now the name of God is in a human being. And now God reveals his name and he chooses this name, which is Yahshua of the Old Testament, which of course means Jehovah Savior. Then when the angel of God names him this name, he's naming him according to the character and the traits which will be the most outstanding of the Lord Jesus, and that is he will be Jehovah Savior. He will be Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, all of the seven compound redemptive names of God. He would be all of that, but the outstanding trait would be the one Jesus. Now he's going to be given the name Lord, and he's also going to be Christ, but those will come in dispensational terms as he enters into it. Now the same Jesus, they said in the book of Acts, the same Jesus God hath made both Lord and Christ. Now the angel never called him Lord Jesus Christ, but he called him Jesus. So Lord and Christ were given as his character, his disposition, and his place come more fully. Same with us. Whenever we are transferred from being called church and we're called bride, it's because a sign of something has taken place. It is a dispensational change. Now, then the thing that we would come to, since we believe the human redemptive name of God is Jesus, in every denomination, there'll be millions of them that have gathered today all around the world. They've gathered in the United States, and most everywhere the name of Jesus will be pronounced. Many of them will actually have his name on the outside, and they'll call it Church of Christ, or Assembly of the Lord Jesus, or a Church of the Living God. They'll call it all different kinds of things. But yet, there's a great difference between us putting our name on a church sign and him putting his name there.
Now, we might put his name on this door here and on that door there. The church that you attend, they might have his name on that door. You might have his name on your songbooks. You might have his name on your website. But that does not necessarily mean that he himself places his name there. God is very picky at where he places his name. Now, because of the term Christianity, and we have so many Christians so-called today, then everybody would think that because they are a Christian by profession, that they are in Christ and they have the name of God. But if we can truly find where that chosen place is, then we will have, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the place where our worship will be received. And there we'll be able to worship God and know that that worship is accepted in His presence. Not only that, but it will give us the assurance that when the rapture does take place, we are going to go whether we are dead or alive. There's no question about it. There's no fear. The fear of missing it, it should be all gone. Because God terminates that, because where He puts His name is the resurrection and the life. Where He puts His name is where God identifies as the tabernacle where the Shekinah glory of God enters. In there, death cannot strike. Wherever we can find a place that God has placed His name, and if we can get into that place, we are free from the tribulation period. We are free from death. Even though our bodies may die, yet eternal death can never touch where the name of God is displayed over the individual. Now, if the name of, you know, here this church was named many, many years ago by those who located it here and moved it from another place called Roan Hill or Roan Mountain, whatever it was, and they placed it here and they called it Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus is here because His name is on that sign. You go to our website, and you'll see the same thing. Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. But as you search the web, you'll find many, many, many other churches that also incorporate Jesus or Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ into their website. But as you begin to read down through their doctrine and what they stand for, you realize His name cannot be there because, first of all, they make Him the second person of a Godhead. So you understand that the fullness of His name cannot be identified on that website because they make Him a little boy God. And then their church makes Him a little boy God. And their pastor makes Him a little boy God. So there's no way in the world that the fullness of His name, being Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, all of these great redemptive names of God, He is not the second person in the Godhead. He is the Godhead. He is not an amateur God. He's not a little boy running around in heaven that has to ask his daddy what to do. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He that was dead and is alive forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. There is God's chosen place of worship. So then the next question will be, how do we get into that place? Now, we closed out with this last night, and I'd like to look at it again this morning, if you could, if you would mind looking at it with me again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And for those of you that wasn't here, we looked at this, and those of you that heard it, it won't hurt you to hear it again. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, what you notice, Paul doesn't say, so also is Jesus. Because Jesus was the human body, the sonship of God by which God lived in. But Christ, Christos, is the anointed mystical body that can be right here. He can be in Murfreesboro. He can be all over the different places where they're gathering in His name all at the same time. Now, as we looked at it last night, Jesus said, whether there's two or three gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. You realize in that statement alone that either He was God or the biggest liar the world ever knew, because only God, can you imagine what He was saying? If there's two or three gathered in my name, now right now there's folks gathered down in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, all different parts of the states, and you believe Jesus is there? How can He be if He's going to be there as Jesus the man? He must be there as Christos, the omnipotent one, who has the ability to be here and there and there and there and there and there all at the same time. Only God could say that. Where there's two or three gathered in my name, there will I be in their midst. Now watch, Paul then says, so as the body is one and having different members, so also is Christ, which shows that Christ has fingers, Christ has toes, Christ has eyes, he has ears, all these different things in his body, and all of that is one body. All of you that are sitting here today from different churches and different places where you go, if we all have the Holy Ghost and we're all baptized, not into Happy Valley, not into your church, but we're baptized into Christ himself. There is God's provided place of worship. Now, verse 13, he says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now, not by water baptism, because many folks are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and yet they're not baptized into the name of God. Because they say the name of Jesus over them don't mean they're in the family name. Praise the Lord. You must get in the name by traits of the characteristics of the name itself. So you can be baptized in Jesus' name over and over again, but unless you're born into the name of God by the Holy Ghost, you still don't have His name on you. That's why there'll be many apostolics and Pentecostals that will miss the rapture. They think they're baptized. They think they've got the name because they take it on by water baptism. But you must receive Him in the form of the Word. You see, folks in this day want to separate Jesus from Christos. They want Jesus the man. They want the man that died on the cross. But they don't want to take Christ, the anointed Word, which lives in every day. We cannot separate Jesus from Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're truly in God's place of worship, you will be identified with Christ the Word for your day. Amen. Let me give you the meaning of this word again today. Baptized, baptizo, to cleanse rather by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water. Now, let me read this little bit of history that I read last night. Not to be confused with bapto, the clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. It is a recipe for making pickles. And is helpful because it uses both words. Nicander says that in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should first be dipped or babto into the boiling water and then be baptized, baptizo, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. But the first is temporary. The second, the act of baptizing the vegetable, produces a permanent change. I'll tell you, brother, sister, this is one of the biggest problems that we have in our message. We have got a bunch of wet cucumbers, but we ain't got a bunch of pickles. Praise the Lord. Folks go to church and they're baptized in water and they take up a message book. They lay down a Baptist book and take up a message book. But they're not born by the word of Malachi 4. And somebody will come along and talk them out of it. But can you imagine talking a pickle out of being a pickle if he's been baptized and changed into a pickle? He'll never go back to being a cucumber again because the solution has totally changed him to a pickle. Hallelujah. This is why folks come and go. You know, they're a cucumber here and then they get mad and then they take them to the cucumber post of duty and they set down their cucumber post of duty over there and then they go over here and they go over there. We need a bunch of folks to stay in the solution long enough to be changed. If you'll stay in this Holy Ghost solution, it will change you forever. But if not, you're just a message cucumber. When used in the New Testament, this word more often refers to our union and identification with Christ than to our water baptism. Now, when we repent, we're still a cucumber. Whenever the brothers come up here, baptize us, or wherever you're baptized at, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus. You grab that old cuke around the nose so water don't go down his belly, and you bury that old cucumber. You come up, glory, hallelujah. He's still a cucumber, unless he's got the Holy Ghost. Many of them go back, sit down, they quit cutting their hair, the women, they get rid of different clothes and music and all this and other, and they've been sat there for years and years, and they're a message cucumber. Because they've never really been into Christ himself. And the nature of sin still lays there. That's why they backslide. They go back out in the world. They go to cutting their hair, getting drunk, all this sort of thing, and say they have the Holy Ghost. There ain't no way. If you ever get the Holy Ghost in your soul, you are sealed to the day of your redemption. Oh, you say, well, I was a pickle and then I become a cucumber. Absolutely impossible. The transformation only works in one direction. Oh, glory! It can only go in one direction. It can never go backwards. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no solution to ever take you back to be a sinner again. Hallelujah. Look in Acts chapter 19 verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard as whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said, how are you baptized? They said, well, John baptized. Now here's a prophet of God that was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was born. These are second generation followers of that prophet. They haven't even heard of no Holy Ghost. Can't you see where people are? This man had the Holy Ghost before he's ever born. And yet they hadn't even heard about no Holy Ghost. So Paul said, now I tell you what, you boys didn't even pick cucumbers yet. You got to get rebaptized. So he takes them over and rebaptizes them. I ain't never made pickles before. So me and Carol was talking about it last night. And I said, whenever you dip them into hot water, does it change them? She said, yeah. It actually does something to them. It actually changes. You see what happens to folks when they get saved, as we call it? And they come up and they get dipped in the hot water. Oh, oh, glory, I feel it all over me. Well, I imagine you would if you're a cucumber and you get dipped in boiling water. Oh, I feel it, I feel it. But it don't change them. Now these folks had heard enough about the gospel, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Ghost. And they'd been baptized, so Paul said, you gotta get baptized. Oh my. Notice the order of this now in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed. The apostles did not believe you got it all at once. That when you believed, you received the Holy Ghost. They believed you got the Holy Ghost after you believed and accepted the gospel. Now, of course, most of our denominations and most of our systems today believe whenever you believe on God and accept Him as your Savior, you get the Holy Ghost. That's contrary to Scripture. That's another Jeroboam that's trying to set up a place of worship outside of God's provided name. This is why folks don't have the Holy Ghost. This is why they think, oh, I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Well, you got everything you need. Even when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll still be needing more, brother. You may get it one time, but you'll need another baptism and another baptism and another refilling till we're changed. You see where it puts people then to where that they make this profession and many of them believe. Many millions of people have gathered today believing they are candidates for the rapture. But there's only one place that God chose to put His name. And that's in Christ, not in Jesus in the human part. We're not baptized into the human body of Jesus. We're baptized in Christ, the mystical body of Christ. Watch this in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And be ye not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Look at this word, to fill up, to complete, bring to realization, to cause God's will to be obeyed as it should be. Oh, so you mean being filled with the Holy Ghost is not just receiving, it's doing. It's doing. It's not just getting something. If you are really filled with the Holy Ghost and you have become a pickle, you are going to obey God's word. Well, I didn't get as many hand claps on that part. Notice now, this is what your Bible says. These are the words in your Bible. Bring to realization to cause God's will to be obeyed as it should be, and God's promises to receive fulfillment. You see, the filling of the Spirit in Scripture, to be filled with something, is identified by that which fills you now operates you. That which fills you now operates you. You don't operate it. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. Put on Jesus. Look at the word put, clothed with, to sink into clothing. To sink into clothing. You see, the problem is with many of us, we're like our children. Our children get a certain age, they know everything. Some of y'all ain't ever grown out of that stage, have you? So when you try to put their coat on, I can do it, Mama, I can do it. And they're trying their best. And let me alone, Mama, I'm telling you, I can do it. All right, Mama, let's go. I'm ready. Are you going to tell me they don't have the coat on? Are you going to tell me the arms are not in the sleeves? Somebody speak up, please. Is the coat on? Is it on right? You see, this is the way that preachers watered down in this day. Want to preach it to folks. Oh, God loves us all and God saves us all and we're all going to heaven. And then in 2 weeks' time, heaven will be a big homo place and a big adultery place and a big bunch of bars and all the rest of that thing. You take them same kind of people and put them in heaven where you figure they're going to be. Same way they are now. If heaven's going to be like that, I don't even want to go. But you see, somebody who really understands this is the top part of the coat. This is the bottom part of the coat. So to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you slide your arm over on one side, depending on whether you do left or right first. You reach back behind you. You pull it up. You put it on like this. Oh, perfect fit. Like it was just made for me. Or I was just made for it. Then you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you sink into that clothing. Then you are identified. And you know how it is whenever somebody to our sister's wearing a nice dress or a brother's wearing a nice dress. They say, you really look nice today. Well, they are merging you and your clothes together. Now, if you had on a pair of blue jeans, had a big hole here and a big hole there, and you had grease all over your face, and your t-shirt was tore all the pieces, and they look and say, wow, you look different today. Why? Because your clothing has merged into you. And they, oh, hallelujah, they are identifying you by what you wear. So can you imagine when God tells us to put on the Lord Jesus, and we sink into His clothes, then God looks at us and said, you look sinless today. Oh, hallelujah! You look without sin today. You look perfect today. Why? We have sunk into our clothes. And us and the clothes become one. Galatians 3:27. As many of you as have become pickles in Christ, baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now, if this is every denomination, every believer, then you know what? I agree. We don't need this message. If every so-called Christian gets this by accepting the Lord as their Savior, I'm not sure we even need this. I'm not sure we need churches. I'm not sure we need preachers. But there's more scriptures in the Bible than that. Notice in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Oh my, you mean you can't live any way you want to live? Do anything you want to do? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. What are we talking about? Pickles. Cucumbers ain't in him. Cucumbers ain't got his clothes on. Cucumbers are not identified in his death, burial, and resurrection. Got pickles. Pickles. They're in Christ Jesus. And when you take them out of the solution, they still smell like where they come from. And when you lay that pickle down on your plate or place it on your hamburger, whether it's a dill or a kosher or a bread and butter, whatever kind of pickle it is, amen, it has so absorbed the solution, it tastes like what it come out of. Oh, that's what a real child of God is. They're so immersed into the Holy Ghost, they taste like Holy Ghost. They smell like Holy Ghost. Amen, they're with the Holy Ghost. That's where they've been dipped into. Hallelujah. Notice in Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And it is be of the same mind, agree together, cherish the same views. Be harmonious. They that are after the flesh, they have the same mind. The flesh does, which is where every one of us were before we got saved. Your real trouble started when you got saved. It really started when you got the Holy Ghost. Because before you had it, you, and you all liked the same thing. Your soul, your spirit, and your body. All of you, all three of you, your Trinity, you all liked the same thing. Your soul loved to do the things of the world. Your spirit loved to participate in the world. And your body enjoyed the after effects. And when you got saved, then something began to move inside of you. And it began to interrupt that cycle which had been there for 30 or 40 years, however long it been. And it set you at war with yourself. And once you get the Holy Ghost and that nature within the soul changes, it puts you really at a big time war. So you got a pickle soul and a cucumber flesh and a cucumber spirit. The flesh can be up and down, up and down. How many knows what I'm talking about? Your spirit can be oh so high in heavenly places and depressed in 20 minutes. We can be soaring where the eagles soar and walking where the turkeys talk in 20 minutes. Why? That's our spirit and our flesh. But that soul has been dipped in the vat of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It will never be down again. It will never get weary. Oh my. Can you imagine those of you that's got the Holy Ghost? Your soul ain't never been depressed since you got it. But the old cucumber sure does. Y'all know what cucumbers do when you pull them off the vine. You leave them laying long enough, they got enough shelf life to last for a while. But then after a while, they go to drawing up, getting wrinkles in them. Go to feeling funny. Come on. The texture is changing on the inside. Why? They've not been dipped into a vat to make them whole what they are. So they begin to dry up. Amen. It's the same way with our bodies and our spirits. But our souls. Oh. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that ye are the temple of God? Oh my goodness. Well, if we are the temple of God, the name must be where the temple is. This surely wouldn't be a nameless temple by which God would be identified. How in the world do we get the name of God in our temple to where we are called the temple of God? and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Chapter 6, verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I love this word, joined. Cleave. Keep company. To glue together. Cement. Fasten together. Hallelujah. So here's Jesus. And here's you. You're dipped in the vat of vinegar. New wine. Amen. And Jesus pours just enough glue on you and just enough glue on him. And it's that fast drying stuff. So when you get it together like that, bam. There's a nephew of mine a couple of years ago had repaired something before he went to bed. He laid some of this fast setting glue over on his nightstand. He also had some chapstick over on his nightstand. So during the night, he woke up with dry lips. You know the rest of the story. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine God made a glue through the divine grace and the blood of Jesus that shed on Calvary, that all God's got to do, run a little bit down Jesus and a little bit down you and slap you two together, no clamp needed. Amen. It is an instant bond that will seal you to the day of your redemption, and there ain't enough devils out of hell to pull you apart. There ain't enough unbelief. There ain't enough people leaving the message to pull you away. You're glued to Christ. You're glued to this word. You are cemented to Christ. You talking about super glue. Notice verse 19. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Ye are not your own. Well, I go where I want to go. I do what I want to do. I worship the way I want to worship. You are not your own. Praise the Lord. This is my handkerchief. If I want to give it to you, I will. Somebody needs a prayer call after church. Many of them are packed off from here. I have a hard time keeping them because folks want them so much. If this belonged to you, I wouldn't feel comfortable in giving away your handkerchief, Brother Jim, the first I ask you. But I asked Brother Jim, ask him if I ever ask him if I can give away my handkerchiefs. Because it's mine. So if Jesus tells you he wants you to dress a certain way and you got the Holy Ghost and you're glued, then you say, yes, Lord. I don't want you to listen to this kind of music. Yes, Lord. I don't want you going these kind of places. Yes, Lord. Why? You're a pickle. You're a pickle. But a cucumber said, well, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I don't think that's right. Go ahead, Joe, deadhead cucumber. But if you're a pickle, you've been baptized. Your soul got baptized. Your will got baptized. Your nature got baptized. You are a genuine pickle. Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, every denominational person that this has happened to will go in the rapture. But if it's happened to them, they won't stay in the denominational church. Brother Dan, don't you believe that there'll be people out there that never heard Brother Bam, they're going to the rapture? How's that impossible? How's that possible that God sends a rapturing message to a prophet of God and then you're allowed to go, never even heard that message in your life? Makes no sense. Oh, you're getting quiet on me. Malachi 4, come to restore our faith back to the original fathers. And John the Baptist brought to naught all other worship places. As Brother Bam says, and God's provided a place of worship, aren't we supposed to receive another eagle? That will bring to naught all other worship places, such as denominations. Who was it that pointed to the Lamb of God, a prophet of God? Who was it that pointed us to the Lamb of God in this last days, a prophet of God? and said, that's not where you go to worship. Not that place you go to worship, but in Christ Jesus is where you go to worship. And I know you know this, but the Spirit of Christ, wherever it dwells, it's a mortifying spirit. Mortifying spirit. Romans 8:13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Look at the word mortify. To make dead. To put to death. To deprive of power. Destroy the strength of. That's why the scripture says, let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body. And the word reign is Greek word basileo, which means to be made king. This ain't converted. Your spirit ain't converted. But the control tower's converted. Let's look at it like this. So into Chicago O'Hare International Airport comes a flight. We'll call it flight 383. It's United. A Boeing 747-400. It has thousands of horsepower. It has thousands and thousands of pounds of cargo and people on board. That pilot cannot land when he wants to. That pilot cannot even choose the runway he wants. But he controls, he contacts who? The control tower. No doubt a lot of them guys in that control tower wouldn't know why, how to even start a 747. They did good to start a Volkswagen. Because that's not their expertise. Their expertise is not flying the jet. Oh, it's landing the jet. And it's watching this one come in and that one come in and that one come in. And said, this is flight 383 contacting control tower. We'd like permission to land zones. Yeah, 383, we've got you coming in there in Northwest. We'll let you land on runway 18R and reduce your speed to such and such and so and so and come down to such elevation. Over and now, flight 383, so. And then he come down, emergency, emergency, hold back, flight 383. Flight 281 from Taiwan has wrecked on your runway. Hold back, it abort the flight. Abortify, and he turns off and banks up real high as I've done before. Oh my God. The man in the control tower just saved the chaos. That's the way it is with you. Your body say, I want to go here, I want to do that. But you ought to contact the control tower and say, is that okay? Is it okay for me to have this attitude? This is flight 383 here, contact control tower. Somebody made me mad at church. Is it okay for me to blast them on Facebook? Over. Control tower contacting flight 383. Over, what do you think Jesus would do? Over. So whatever you think Jesus would do according to his nature, you do likewise. Over and out. Flight 383, contact and control tower. Is it okay if I'm a busybody in church? Is it okay if I spread gossip in the church? Control tower contacting flight 383. You continue to do so, you go to hell. Your flight, your plane, and your cargo will be annihilated. Roger, roger. Praise the Lord, saints. If we would contact our control tower more often, we'd stay out of a whole lot more trouble. But we live after the flesh. We think after the flesh. We walk after the flesh. How can we walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit? To mortify the flesh is to wage war against your flesh. You ought to remind yourself every day. Y'all stand there and brush your teeth. Make sure they're so white. Comb your hair. Button up everything. Make yourself look nice. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. And when you get down to do this, I'm at war with you. Look straight in the mirror and point your finger and say, you are my enemy. He said, what have I ever done to you? Everything. You're the one that's kept me from getting closer to God. You're the one that opened my big fat mouth and got me in trouble. You're the one that got me angry with God. You're the one that got me to talk about my brother. What have you ever done to me? What have you ever done for me? Well, this started out as a camp meeting sermon. I don't know what happened. Notice in Colossians 3:5, mortify, therefore your members. I want you to notice the Holy Ghost ain't going to do this. It's you from the control tower. When the control tower tells the flight of senses, see, taste, feel, smell, hear, don't you look at that website. Don't you get over on that. That's filthy. Don't you say that. Don't you do this. It'll come down to your spirit. Don't you imagine that against your brother. Don't you do that in your conscience and think that. Don't you do that. Then the control tower is controlling every flight. He's controlling everything that comes and goes. Oh my, what kind of Christians would we be? Those of you that go to Brother Tim Humes, those of you that go to these other brothers' churches, can you imagine what it would be if we had our churches filled with them kind of people? But let's be honest, there's no church that's filled with all them kind of people. We may have a full church. We got some cucumbers and some pickles. Some snakes, some serpents, some... Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Good Lord. Not in the flesh? How in the world am I not in the flesh? Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Not the word. Not saying his human name. Not going to one of his churches. But if any man personally does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There's God's place of worship. Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Verse 13. If we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Deleted its power. Took away its controlling ability. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me read this to you from God's provided place. What does the word quick mean? The Greek word means to be brought to life after death. Hallelujah. There's the gate of worship. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now wait a minute. I thought the gate was in the name of Jesus. It is. But here is the gate personified in bride form. Now see, as long as you leave the gate, oh Jesus, 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 that's not the gate we're talking about. Because he is now revealed in the further part of his word. This is bride time. Now watch, there's the gate of worship. Worshiping in spirit and in truth. Mechanics and dynamics together. You see what I mean? If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal body. Because it's already alive rather. And when it comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. You are a walking, talking pickle. Is it just the inside of the cucumber that's changed? Now you see the modern day philosophy as well. You know, it's what's on the inside that counts. You won't convince a pickle of that. So there are pickles on the inside and who knows what they are on the outside. But a real pickle is changed all the way through. Now, it don't mean that your body wants to do it, but because the pickling has took place from within. The pickling makes the non-pickled obey the pickled. So you know what? When Sunday morning comes, the pickled part tells the non-pickled part, I'm going to church today, and I need a body to take me. And the pickled part tells the non-pickled part, I'm going to raise my hands, and since my soul don't have hands, I want to use yours. So the non-pickle says, what if somebody sees me? What if somebody makes fun of me? The pickle part says, shut up. You're obeying me. I'm the pickle in command. I am the commanding officer of this pickle band. And you're going to do what I say. I want to praise God. I want to use your non-pickle voice to express my pickle tone. I'm going to say amen to the word. And the non-pickle says, amen. And the pickle said, raise your hands. I'm embarrassed to do that. Big crowds bother me. I'm ashamed of that. But the pickle part says, I am your commander. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. Why? The spirit in you controls your body. Listen, the prophet again says, this is the real church. You get into it by spiritual baptism, not by joining, not by some more, but by being baptized with the Holy Ghost into His body. It's God's only provided way. He has left for us to do is to be baptized into His body by His Spirit. Jesus promised these things. Now when we see God make His promise live before us, see that it's in us, His Spirit living in us. Oh my. That is the only way of worship. The only place of worship. The only true way you can worship. So now the only place of worship is in Christ in you. You see where the denominations stop? They bring it right up to Christ. But Paul said, the hope of the mystery is Christ in you. The temple of God was Jesus. Now you are the temple of God. If Christ be in you. Because God's provided name and God's provided place baptizes you as a cucumber into the solution. And little by little, you become changed. Your texture, your color, your appearance, your taste. Everything about you has become changed and transformed, and you are preserved. Amen. Because the juice pickles you. Oh, hallelujah. The body itself will certainly die. But brother, sister, if you're doing the best thing you can do for your body, and that is make your body obey this word. Because before long, that Holy Ghost in me that made my body obey this word, that Holy Ghost in me is going to make my body change. The prophet said you'll call your own body from the dust of the earth. Oh my, the only way you can worship, for there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. God made the promise. Jesus said, these things that I do will you also. And what He would do in the last day, how it come through this age, neither light nor day would be a time, it's a darkened time. But in the evening time, it shall be light. 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 What light is it? The light off the word of God for this hour. And the days of Paul is wonderful. The days of Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. But this is our day. This is pickling time. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us now, as we look down the gallery of worship, we've looked at several different galleries, the gallery of preaching the word and the gallery of patience and many of these different galleries. Here as we come to the close of another tour of this gallery. Once again, the master of the gallery
has told us and explained things to us to help us to understand the works of art more perfectly. For us to truly offer worship to God that will be accepted, it must be acceptable worship in order to come through His divine nature. Can a cucumber praise God? It can. Can a tree? It can. Can people that's not even saved? Absolutely. Can they worship Him? But now whether it's accepted, worship is a different thing. To give Him worship that He Himself would accept. Not only accept it, but I want to be like Job. I want to find that secret place where God will meet in that chosen place where Him and His people are worshipped together. They're worshipped together. I know that staggers you a little bit. But you see, He wants worship from us. And He in turn comes back around and adores. You see, we think of worship like this. Oh, God. Oh, how do you worship your car then? Those of you who worship your wife or your job or your car, how do you do that exactly? Because you put your deepest adoration towards your car or your job or your home or whatever it is. That's how you worship it. You don't bow down before your car. Oh, I worship you, my job. I worship you, my boss. I worship you. I worship you, my job. But you give your job your best adoration. Your strength, your best time. And then you give God and family whatever's left over. You're worshiping your job. And when God goes to entering into the place with His bride, God ain't going to bow down before His bride. Oh, my bride, I worship you. Oh, my bride. But He gives to her adoration. He adores His wife. He doesn't adore the church. If you want to see how God looks at the church, read the Revelation series, and you'll find out that whenever He looks at the Laodicean church, He looks at them and said, they're wretched, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked, they're miserable, and they don't even know it. How could God Almighty adore such a mess as that? But there are some people He adores. He delights in them. Praise God. And they're like them little turtle doves, as Brother Bram said, they set up on the power line, and they take their necks and they lock around one another. And they coo, and they make love one to another. You coo to God, then God coos back to you. Cooing breeds cooing, as temper breeds temper. So as you coo to God, and you worship, hold on now, then God begins to coo back and gives you adoration. He adores you. In this place in Christ is where God and His people are worshipped together. I know it's mind-boggling. Can you imagine whenever we are called in the change and all the saints are gathered together and finally the Lord Jesus opens the gates of paradise and all of us redeemed mortals through the dispensation of grace walk in and these angels of God stand there by the myriads, thousands or millions of them, never sinned, never smoked, never lied, never cursed, never made one mistake in their entire existence. But when you walk in and they bow, they bow. Why? The king and the queen are coming in. Glory to God. I know, friends, it's so hard for us to comprehend. All of heaven is waiting on you. The streets of gold were not made for angels. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl were not made for angels. They were made for redeemed human beings. What is a man that has the ability when he's going to marry a wife and he goes to buy an engagement ring? You're going to think very highly of him if he goes into a bubble gum machine and pays about 25 cents for a little plastic thing that's going to turn green on her finger in 3 days. If that man's got the means to go down and buy a diamond for her or whatever, you know, and oh, my, will give. Why? Because this is reflecting His love. Look at the gift of heaven to His bride, and it will tell you a little bit about how He cares for you. And He loves you so much that He decided that He'd bring out home right down here where you come from. He didn't want you missing mama.
didn't want you missing Mother Earth. So he's going to bring that city right down to where you live, where you come from. The future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. And where does the future home end up on? Your place of residence. Praise God. Let's bow our heads if you would. Oh, friends, please, please. If you're nothing but just a baptized cucumber, and I hope you don't think I'm sacrilegious by saying this, and you've never really been changed into this vat that transforms you, please. The hour's so late. Prophecies are being fulfilled. Bam, 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 one after another. The Pope arriving here next week. Who knows what's going to happen with all that? If you aren't ready to meet him today, you'd like to be remembered in prayer, would you raise your hand to God? Maybe God can take this little simple something and be able to speak to your hearts. God bless you. All over the building. God bless you. Maybe those of you out streaming the service down in Fiji, in the Pacific Islands, in Norway, in Europe, England, Spain, Africa, Canada, all different parts of the world. People are hooked right in this morning. They're hearing the same things you're hearing. May the Spirit of God not be limited just to go to this building, but may go to wherever there's hungry hearts. If you want to worship, you've got to be in God's chosen place. And His chosen place is Christ Jesus. And you don't get in there by water baptism, by shaking the preacher's hand, even by accepting the message of the hour. You get in there by being dipped, baptized. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to bring before you today the hands of these people that were uplifted. Maybe some out sitting around their computer or their car or their smartphone. Lord Jesus, would your presence go there too, I pray. We gather here this weekend, Lord, for this time that we call the Fall Festival, and so we can have food and fellowship. But yet, Lord, how we're longing for that day when another great big table will be spread. The saints of God will sit down at that table 1,000 miles long. Lord, and me and Carol and these different saints from the local assembly here serve these people food. And all these people worked and labored hours and hours to make it nice and presentable to them. Where they could come and not have to worry about bringing anything. Just enjoy the food and have fellowship together. Lord Jesus, if we could only understand it today. The gates have already been hung. The streets have already been paved and laved. The angels are standing there with a holy hush, as it were, waiting for the residents to flood this great city. I believe we're so close, the table has already been set and spread out 1,000 miles long. Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us standing here present, missing that day. When the great King comes walking out in His beautiful robes, and we sit there in this awesome hush and silence comes over the whole gathering of the saints. All of a sudden the King comes out, and one by one He steps by us and takes His robe. As we're sitting there and we're so awed by His presence, and the tears flow out of our eyes, and He'll take His robe and reach up and dry our eyes and say, "Don't cry no more. It's over. All your suffering, it's finished. You suffered for me in that age. They laughed at your hair. They laughed at you at work because you wore dresses. You men, they ridiculed you. They called your name on websites. They done all this sort of thing against you Christians because you wouldn't do what they wanted you to do. But it's over now. It's over. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Come, my beloved. The sound of the turtle doves is in the air, and the time of singing. Come away. Come away, my fair one. Come away. Let us take our fill of love." Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, if there's anything in my heart, anything in my life, anything in the lives of these people, search us, Lord. Search us, Lord, and cleanse us.
Lord, that we can be ready for that great hour. Granted, I pray, Lord Jesus. You saints that are already filled with the Holy Ghost and know that you've got your ticket in your hand, you want to raise your hand to God and say, I don't want nothing in my life. I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to be in harmony with Him. I want to be in Christ Jesus. I want to be so cemented to Him by spiritual super glue. No sickness, no disease. The falling away ain't going to pull me away from Christ, because I'm glued so tight to Christ, I can no more perish than He can. Hallelujah. Lord, I raise my hands. This is a super age, a super sign, all kinds of super things. And Lord, we're joined together to you by a super glue. Amen. Not a creation of man, but the true baptism of the Holy Ghost that glues our soul together to yours, that the devil can't even find us no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. While we sat here on these power lines, as it were, as I related the story to you, that Brother Ben said, saw those two little doves sitting out on the power lines over Brother Charlie's house, and they was taking their little necks and bending around one another and making love to one another and cooing. Before we go, let's just sit on this Holy Ghost power line. Let's just take our little old feminist dove neck and wrap it around His masculine deity neck and tell Him how we love Him, how we appreciate His grace and His mercy. Hallelujah. Let's adore and magnify and worship. Don't you hog the whole thing now. Give Him time to bend His neck back around yours and tell you, my dear, I loved you before the world began. When you come to this earth, I blocked your mind from it. You can't remember it, but you existed in my thoughts before there was ever an atom or a molecule. Your names are written indelibly on the palm of my hands. When you was a sinner, you were still mine. When you were without the Holy Ghost, you were still mine. But now that you've received my life, you are glued to me forever. Forever. Praise God. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship Him together now. We'll let you go just shortly, but I wouldn't feel right without loving Him a little, would you? Hallelujah. Let's just try to forget, if we can, the people standing by us and around us, and where you're going to go eat lunch, and when you're going to leave and all that. Let's just take a few minutes now in the presence of the King. We're in God's chosen place of worship in Christ, in the mystical, invisible body, that our souls are baptized, and there we can worship. We have mechanics and dynamics. Sing it, Harry. Let's worship.
Praise God. What a mighty God.
We worship you, Jesus.
Jesus,
we adore you, Lord. We bless your name, because you are a mighty God.
Oh,
hallelujah.
What a mighty God.
Jesus is. Oh, yes you are.
Heaven and earth adore.
Hallelujah.
His people bow before Him. What a mighty God.
Let's worship Him now. Your brothers come in.
What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is.
We cry, holy,
mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Let his bride cry, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Let his bride.
Sing it when the music fades.
When the music fades.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have. require. You search much deeper within from the way things appear. You're looking in. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you. King of endless word, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than this song, for the song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Lord, it's all about you. It should be all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior speak to me. He said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting. Child, I will lead you out where you can see.
straight from Him. No, never, 'cause He's the dearest friend that I ever knew. And when I see Him yonder, my love's gonna still grow fonder up in that happy home beyond the blue.
Many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you. We're going to let you go. Those of you visitors, thank you for coming and being with us. Trust you enjoyed a little brief visit with us here. Until we meet again in another meeting somewhere in eternity, may God be with you. Greet your pastor for me when you go back home. And let me say to you also that our parking lot's a real difficult situation. You know that if you've been here before. We've got a bunch of cars parked up here in an adjoining business parking lot and just all over the hill. So please be careful whenever you leave, because it can be really treacherous vehicles coming down the hill this way and up that way. We certainly wouldn't want this service to end in a bad situation. God bless you. I wish I could just have big old, great big old arms I could just put around all of you and just pull you together. Don't the love of God make you feel that way? You love one another. Amen. Amen. Let's just pray together before we go. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you for this time we've had together. It's been a wonderful weekend. Lord, as I sat there the other day and just looking at all the people that had come, driven so many miles, it wasn't just to eat. Lord, it's to fellowship and hear your word. Lord, I thank you the wonderful weather that we had. If it had been raining, it had been awful with all them cars everywhere. And you just give us such a nice day. Thank you for all the people that worked and labored and to make that part possible. Then for those who stayed over and wanted to be in church with us this weekend, they brought their liquor far and it just added something special to the services here, Lord. We thank you for them. May you keep them by your grace. And Lord Jesus, how we long for that time when we'll all be gathered together. Watch over each of them, Lord, now as they get ready to leave and head back home wherever they are. Lord, watch over them as they go out of the parking lot here, we pray. In Jesus' name. God bless you. The local church here, Brother Timothy Pruitt, will be speaking for us on Wednesday night, so we want to come look for that. Also, there'll be a black helicopter be landing in here on Saturday night. So. You know how helicopters do. They drop in and they're gone. So he'll be dropping in and he'll be heading back out. So God bless you. Go in the fear of God. We love you in the Lord.
It won't be long.
Hallelujah. Glory.
You will be leaving here. It won't be long. We'll be going home. It won't be going home. Church, it won't be long till we'll be leaving here. we'll be going home. Count the years as months. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days, any day now.